So real quick anecdote while I do this.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, are you recording? Well, never mind. I'm not going to tell that story.
Hey, are you wearing a Happy Life Day t-shirt? Is that a Star Wars Holiday Special reference?
I am, yeah. This is one of my favorites. Yeah. I wear it all year round, even though it's a very holiday-themed one. It's got Chewie. You got your Chewie there? Yeah, right. From one of the greatest Star Wars films ever made, the 1980 whatever holiday special. I don't know what year. Do you know what year?
Probably 1978.
That early? Wow.
Yeah, okay. It was after New Hope and before Empire.
Lucasfilm runs from this. They want to bury the thing. I say embrace it. It is fantastic. Like, what's her name? The cook doing her like, and we're stirring and we're stirring. Who is that? Yeah. What's her name? Famous.
It's a man. It's Harvey Korman from the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the woman.
Oh, no, he's playing a woman.
Oh, he's playing a woman.
Yeah, it's Harvey Korman, and he's doing like an alien Julia Child kind of
bit. I thought it was actually Julia Child. That's what I was thinking of when you said, okay, all right, hilarious. Yeah.
And I'm assuming, you know, that all of our users are, you know, familiar with the intricacies of the Star Wars Holiday Special. But this is true. The first 15 minutes is entirely like, you know, Chewbacca's home with his family with no dialogue.
It's in Wookiee or whatever that language is. What's his language? Some of the K.
Oh, they live on Kashyyyk.
Oh, Kashyyyk. But so what's the language? Kashyyykian? It's Wookiee language. It's so fantastic.
With no subtitles, no nothing. It's glorious.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, or resell it because people believe you when you say it. This is the first appearance of Boba Fett.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. In animated form. Yeah.
Yes.
And so then forget in Mandalorian, they bring back some of the callbacks and, like, you know, the references from that holiday special.
No,
like,
they don't.
They
do. I miss them.
Oh, the Mandalorian's, like, rifle is directly from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, users, forget about the Obi-Wan trailer.
Yeah.
Go out right now and watch the holiday special.
Oh, my goodness.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing that I wasn't, like, reported for war crimes or some sort of harassment. It's not necessarily sexual harassment, but it's not sexual harassment.
I reported you, Brad.
Showing that to my teams.
Reported you.
Pretty incredible.
On their behalf.
There is a part, and this is true. Again, it sounds like I'm making this up. There's a part where where Chewbacca's father puts on, like, a VR headset. And he has, like, some cyber sex experience with Diane Carroll, who's, like, a famous, you know,
what
disco
are you talking
singer.
About?
This is real. Is
that
real.
The, like, carnival, like, holographic carnival situation?
No, that's another one. No, seriously. He has, like virtual sex in a headset in the Star Wars Holiday Special. Chewbacca's father, who's also very disturbing.
Oh, my
He's,
goodness.
Like, smacking his gums.
Okay, you know,
it's
this is
really
what I'm doing.
Gross.
This is what I'm doing for the rest of the day.
It's Sunday morning. I'm wearing pajamas, so you know what that means. It's time for the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am Dave.
And not with us today is producer Joe. You know why, Dave?
I know why.
Tell our
Happy
users why.
Birthday to producer Joe.
Okay,
not the producer.
Right. Good enough.
Happy. Okay.
Happy birthday, Joe. This happy is, birthday. Of course, a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us every day. We are lovers, not experts.
Sweet lovers.
We can't claim to be experts in UX design, but we are big fans. We started this podcast as a way to talk about why things were made the way they are and where those design decisions might have gone off the rails. How are you, Dave?
Brad, I'm going to do it.
What are you going to do?
The important question is, how are you?
Oh, thanks for asking.
There you go.
I'm doing great. So last night I went out to celebrate producer Joe for his birthday.
Yep.
And
I had to miss it. I had to miss it, unfortunately.
Yep.
Got a lot of FOMO. Tell me about it.
Well, no, it was good. It was like a lot of love for producer Joe, who truly is a great guy. But Dave, we celebrated Joe earlier in the day, like the three of us, we got together.
We did, yes.
It felt really good. Like, you know, I haven't been out too much at all, you know, during this pandemic. And, you know, as it's coming and entering endemic stage, I still haven't been out a whole lot. So it felt pretty good to go out. We were at a restaurant. We had a lovely dinner. And we had some drinks, and it was just a lot of fun and really good energy.
Did it feel very endemic? Yeah,
it did.
Okay.
It did.
Okay,
it felt not normal, but like approaching normal.
Right. Okay. Kind of like the valley of, what is it called in animation?
The Uncanny Valley.
The Uncanny Valley. Was it like that? Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit, but you know, erring on the positive side. So like on the other side of that valley.
Yeah. That's
like
great. That's
almost
great.
Almost normal.
Well, we had off-putting. We had a block party, and that's why I couldn't make it to be with you guys.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day, which the interesting thing about that is COVID started with this block party.
Yeah.
I had direct
COVID was created during this block party?
During this block party.
Not Wuhan. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah. No, exactly the opposite. I was directly exposed at work earlier that week, and it was like a Thursday, and they said you have to quarantine, and then my entire family was mad at me because I'm like, you can't go to this party, we're gonna like infect everybody. And this is before anybody knew what it was, knew what quarantining was.
Yeah,
didn't think it was a big deal. Everybody made fun of me. I came out, I waved a beer, down my Guinness, and I went back into my house. And you know, I wound up being smart there because look where we are. But so it felt very good to celebrate, and we had so many people, more than we've ever had, and I think that's just a testament to everybody wants to be back, right?
Well, we did it. We did it, right?
We did it.
You know, and no one got hurt.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Put the flag behind me.
God damn it, Dave. Let's jump into the news. What I've got today is that Apple held their semi-annual product release event. They called it Peak Performance. They unveiled some new hardware, really targeted towards designers and super users, including a fancy schmancy new monitor, not just a fancy new monitor, a fancy schmancy new monitor called the Apple Studio Display, which I want. I'm not going to get it because it's too much money for me.
How much is it, Brad?
I think it's like $1,500. It starts at that for a 27-inch monitor.
Wow. See, 27, I need that. As a designer, I need that.
I think you do. I honestly do think you could use that as a designer. Anyway, I'm not going to be able to pick up that one, but it looks really beautiful, I got to tell you, man.
Yeah.
They also announced a very, very powerful new Mac called Mac Studio M1, which I might get.
Maybe I'll get that too.
And in the budget category, they announced a new iPhone SE for just $500, $499, which sounds like honestly a bargain to me.
I am sure my daughter will be nagging me to buy that.
Yeah, and a new iPad Air, and they announced a new color for the Big Daddy iPhones, which is kind of like the sagey green.
Is that the official name of it? I see that in the script, Brad. Big Daddy iPhone?
Well, the core iPhone.
Well, that's what you call it.
Not the new iPhone SE.
You call them Daddy.
God damn it.
Okay, Brad, you know what? This is great. Who cares about
it? It's going great. Like, yeah, nobody cares. Like, Apple cares announced some news. Apple announced some new shit. That's not news.
Big deal. Here's the real news, Brad, if I could get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Last week, with our guest, Ethan Gray, you promised, Brad, under the threat of tattooing, that you would buy an iPhone.
Yes.
If
not buy an iPhone, switch to an iPhone.
Switch to
different
iPhone
things.
If iPhone won the deathmatch, which iPhone did. I have problems with that. I want to go back to that in a second. But have you bought the iPhone?
Are you really going to make me do that?
Long pause. He hasn't done it, folks. You see this?
Look, I am nothing if not a man of my word. And you have my word. Yeah. I am buying an iPhone. I have
you
not
are
done
buying it
quite yet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, Brad. Your time's running out. You have 1 week.
All right.
If you do not do this in 1 week, you either have to declare Google the winner.
Okay.
We have to set up a new episode, they're going to win, because here's my problem I had with it. We didn't get granular. We didn't get into like all the problems I have with iPhones versus that. We went very broad strokes, very general, philosophical, high level. We didn't get into the weeds like I wanted to. But if you don't get the iPhone, then I am sending my tattoo artist to your house, and you will have that Android tattoo.
Well, I am a man of my word, and I am a man of action, and I will commit to getting that iPhone, and I'll at least have it ordered by next week.
You heard him.
Yeah, my
word. You heard him, users. We will check in next week.
Anyway, the Apple event was great, but we're going to have to wait a little bit longer for all the cool stuff. You know, the augmented reality device that they're rumored to be in development on, and the Apple car. I'm really excited to see what an Apple car thing? Is going to look like.
I want it to look like, I want it to be a VW Beetle,
yeah,
but with a little Apple stem on the top.
That makes sense.
Just go for it. Just be stupid. Yeah.
That sounds like what they'll do, right? Surely it's going to look just like you were describing.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I fully expect this thing to be real and to be like a Tesla killer. Maybe not a Tesla killer, but
really?
Like,
come on.
Look,
come
there's on. Only Tesla in this space. All the others, the Rivians and everything, they're not really you know, competitors for the market that Tesla has market.
Is Google doing this?
Google does have a car called Polestar, which is a project that they developed with.
Wait, Polestar?
Polestar, P-O-L-E star. I've only seen two of them on the road. I kind of want one, but I know that Google's not going to support it for longer than a couple of years.
Exactly. They get bored and they'll do it without wheels. It'll be a boat. It'll be a boat next.
They're going to say, we no longer support the wheels for a Polestar. So, anyway.
Oh, Brad, on that note, on news, I actually have something else.
All right, good.
Big news, Brad, on the Google messaging app, which we got to keep coming back to because we decimated it. Like, I went back and listened to that episode recently. Yeah. We had a lot of fun on that episode.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we need to do more show and tell like that because I love like getting, and that's what I wish we did on the Apple versus iPhone episode. We didn't get to do too much of that.
Yep.
Like, so Google messaging app, I'm reading this from TLDR newsletter, can now handle iMessage reactions.
Yes.
Okay. And then challenges Apple with new features. It's a 4-minute read. We don't have 4 minutes, but the high level item there is that we don't have to, hopefully I can stop getting, you know, you know what this is like, you know, you say something funny and somebody goes laughed at, and then it repeats the entire thing you just said. And then five other people in the group chat who have Apple phones laughed at, blah, 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 liked, you know,
oh my God,
emphasized. Oh, it's the worst.
Well, so, Dave, I saw that story and I got to tell you, it's not working yet. I think it's supposed to actually be working now, but it's not. So I'll have to put that in. I believe it when I see it.
Kat. Yeah. I agree with you. Okay. Another point for Apple.
Yeah. Ding, ding, honestly, ding, ding. Unfortunately, that's correct. Should we get into our main topic today?
I think we should take a well-needed break first.
Oh God, yeah, we gotta keep the lights on this one. Mm-hmm. We gotta keep the smart lights on for this podcast.
Ooh, see what you did there? Yes, sir.
All right, so let's take a break, pay the bills. We'll come back with the main topic. David.
Hey, Brad.
What do you want to do if you had complete privacy on the internet, Dave? Tell us
complete privacy. Complete privacy. Oh, yeah, I don't know, Brad.
You
know,
we're not recording. Tell me. What would you do?
You're shutting it off, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, besides, yeah. Okay. And it's off. Okay. Awesome. Well, besides the Camagra, of course, you know, and you know, for when I'm older, don't worry about it. It's fake Viagra, you know, and then, you know, the your birthday's coming up. They got Rolexes, baby. They got Rolexes, fake Rolexes, but you're not going to know the difference. You're not going to know the difference.
Now. Okay, go on. Go on.
And besides, okay, there's other things, a million things like the thumb wrestling Gibbons, but don't worry about that. Obvious.
Wait, what?
Twitter and souls. You could get souls on the dark web. I kind of want to get a couple souls, make them do my bidding.
Did you say Twitter followers?
Twitter followers, Brad.
Okay. We could use some of those, actually.
We could. I know the joke is here that we've got like 50,000, but we only have like seven, Brad.
Seven.
So
Twitter
this
followers?
Way, yeah, oh, we can buy like 10,000 followers. I mean, they're not actual people like the souls that we can get, but they're like bots or something, but you know, it'll make it look like, you know, they'll engage, they'll like, they'll subscribe. And then
Dave,
yeah, that works.
I'm going to have to cut you off here. Hearing some of the things that you plan to be doing just confirms to me that you really, really need ExpressVPN. Hey, sorry to interrupt our fake ad read. I thought it was going great, but if you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just a fan, visit ourpodsucks.com. That's ourpodsux.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I, of course, mean producer Joe. Ourpodsucks.com. Now, back to the fake ad read currently in progress. You remember the early 90s TGIF smash hit Perfect Strangers. You know, Cousin Falky? Guess what?
Yeah, Cousin Larry.
Guess what? It's not available in this country. But it is if you stream Netflix from Bulgaria with ExpressVPN. Is it there? You're goddamn right. It's there for you there. And you could access it only with ExpressVPN. So, Dave, for all these reasons and more, I recommend, as your lawyer, to you, you're going to definitely want ExpressVPN. And for the rest of our listeners, please visit ExpressVPN.com. Use the promo code SUX for up to, but probably not, 50% off your first year. And we are back with our main topic today, which is, Dave, tell us what the topic is.
Oh, I should do it in a smart voice.
Oh, you should.
I should.
Maybe slightly British?
Slightly British, because I can't do a British, but it is the smart home, Brad. That's terrible. Let's do it again. You do it for me, and I'll repeat it.
It is the smart home, Gov, isn't it? Like that?
Like that. I like that. I'm going to leave that in.
That sounds smart?
Yes. I'm going to read you a work of fiction. Ready? You ready for this, Brad?
I'm ready.
This is from a Time magazine article from 2019, titled, What Will Smart Homes Look Like 10 Years From Now? Okay, any picture ready? It's 6 a.m., and the alarm clock is buzzing earlier than usual. It's not a malfunction. The smart clock scanned your schedule and adjusted because you've got that big presentation first thing in the morning. Your shower automatically turns on and warms to your preferred 103 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow, that's hot. The electric car is ready to go, charged by the solar panels or wind turbine on your roof. When you get home later, there's an unexpected package waiting, delivered by drone. You open it to find cold medicine. Turns out, health sensors embedded in your bathroom detected signs of an impending illness and placed an order automatically. Good thing you already knocked that presentation out of the park. Wow, that sounds pretty promising, Brad.
That sounds eerily like a student film that I saw a long time ago. It was from a very inspiring young writer and director. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it was Dave Walsh. Walsh.
That
was
his name. Heard of that guy.
It was called Search Word something something. Do you remember
Search
this?
Word Silverware. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Brad. Thanks for bringing that back. I was hoping you'd mention it.
Yeah. Well, it's in the script, so I had no choice.
And this is the part where you say, tell me about it, Dave.
Okay. Tell me about it, Dave.
All right. Well, okay. No, I'm glad you bring this up, because when I read this, I instantly was transported back to 20 years ago when I wrote the short student film. Okay. We were supposed to do something that was no dialogue. And like, you know me, I'm from Jersey. I talk a lot.
Too much.
You can't. Yeah. Actually, you might argue that. So to do a short film for, like, I think it was like a 10-minute film or 5-minute film, whatever it was, and not have dialogue, I snuck it in. I put in monologue and voiceover, and the teacher let me do it because it was like, okay, yeah. So, and speaking of smart, it was about the smart home, and basically AOL was big then, and I hated it as much as I hate Apple, because it's like, go ahead.
So wait, just to paint the picture here, we're talking about the year like 1998. Or something
99,
like that, right?
I think. 99. And maybe I made it in 2000. I can't remember.
Right.
It
I mean,
was like
we're
around
aging
that time.
Ourselves a bit. But yeah. This was a while ago, well before the advent of the smart home.
Yes. And so I had this idea that, like, I don't even know where I got it from. I mean, do we even have any type of smart devices back then? I mean, we had the internet. Maybe it was the internet made me come up with this idea. So I had this character named Bob Devolve, you know, very on the nose with my character names there. Mm-hmm. And it was a black and white film. Mm-hmm. And basically comes home. He's very like, he's just leading a bummed out life. And he's just like, his home is like, welcome home, Bob. And then he's like, he gets his food. He's like, I've cooked me your food for you. And then he takes it out of the microwave. He puts it down and then he stares at the plate. Isn't it to do? And then the computer's, you know, the punchline is like, your search word is silverware. And it opens the drawer and it gives him, because like, he's so dumb that he doesn't know what to do. So this is my piece on like AOL and now Apple. It's like, it's so dumbed down that we don't know what to do anymore. So then eventually it turns into basically 2001. The house kind of like won't let him out because he wants to revolt. And then he's running out and like the sprinklers are coming on and attacking him. The garbage cans are talking to him. And it's just this, you know, internet of everything, you know, before that existed. And it just like taking over.
Right.
And it ends with this. It's just like a cherry picker comes up and like we actually rented out a cherry picker, scanned down at the street, and he's just screaming. And it's the only time you hear him talk in the film, which is like my artiste kind of moment, right? It's like the computer's talking the whole time, but here we hear Bob at the end. He's like, no. And then cut to black, right? Okay. And I will have to say I was ahead of my time, because I got an artist from Canada to do a rap song at the end.
Ooh,
and he
Canada.
Wrote the lyrics, from T-Dot. Toronto, shout out to T-Dot and shout out to Gemini Doc. I might have to add him, see what he's up to. But it was a great film. It was ahead of its time, I would like to say. Although I look back later and there was another film that was made around that time and it pissed me off. I was like, holy shit, people are going to think I ripped off that film, but I had no idea that film existed.
That's cool, man. There's also a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode that kind of had a similar premise. I think that came right after yours, though.
Yeah, I think everybody just cribbed my idea there. But
I think so, too.
It's fucking beautiful, man. That was like, bro, that was one of my favorite filmmaking moments.
Of course.
But anyway, this podcast right now is not about my my films.
You wouldn't know it.
It is about, yeah. Asshole. Let's talk about The Smart Home.
Okay.
And what happened? That was 20 years ago, Brad, when I made that film.
Right.
This article in Time is talking about 20 years in the future. Okay, am I going to get this promise every 20 years that I'll have a car that folds up into a briefcase and I'll have a talking robot in my house or what?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not really confident with what the timing is going to look like. It's coming, but 20 years seems like more than enough time. But we're going to talk about the challenges with smart homes today and like kind of where the industry is, where the opportunities are, and certainly where the challenges are, because this podcast is nothing without us bitching about stuff. And with smart homes, there's a lot to complain about. It just doesn't quite work the way that
we love to complain,
especially for most people. We read a TechCrunch article from Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson.
I saw that in the script. It's Owen Williams. Owen
Wilson. Something was wrong there.
Yeah. Owen Williams from TechCrunch wrote an article called "The Average Person." Dummy. The average person doesn't have a chance with the smart home. Right. And that really nailed this episode for us, right? Because we were like, when we were talking about this, like, do we have enough experience? Do we have enough anecdotes? Can we complain enough about this?
Right.
Right.
I think but we can. Read this article. I think that we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's start by defining what a smart home is for our users out there. So a lot of people have smart home devices in their homes. I would wager to say that most people listening to this podcast have at least one smart device in their home. But that doesn't mean that their homes are smart, right? What I think of when I think of smart homes is full interoperability between smart devices, all these things working together and having a large percentage of your home be controllable via automated routines and apps, et cetera. So lights, AC, security, home audio, I think those are the must-haves for your home to be smart. And then there's all sorts of things on top of that, right?
Well, even beyond that, Brad, if I could jump in.
Yeah, please.
Even beyond them all talking together and interoperability, it's them and it's the anticipatory nature of the devices. Them machine learning, AI, figuring out your routine. Like you come home, the lights turn on, the air is the way you need it. You want to go to eat, like in my movie.
Right.
It knows that this is what you like to eat, right? That's the smart part.
I guess I kind of disagree with you a little bit, because right now the way that the smart homes work is that you have to program all that. It's not learning. You have to program it, and we'll get into that.
No, I'm talking about what the smart home should be.
In the future.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's the smart part. Right now we don't have smart homes.
Yeah. Some people have homes that are smarter than others, but a lot of people probably have a Google Home or more likely an Alexa in their home.
Yeah. My home is in first grade, Brad.
Your home is in first grade. Oh, I get it. I'm tracking with you now.
I think yours is maybe in middle school.
I think like I'm fourth, middle school or maybe freshman year of high school, to be honest.
I disagree.
But a lot of people have an Alexa or Google Home. That's the most basic example of where a smart home starts. Yep. You can say Alexa and I said like X as a placeholder, but it could also be the band X, which is a great band.
Isn't it XX?
No, the XX, which is another great band.
Yes.
Pretty much any band with the name X in their title is great.
Yeah.
But also makes it really hard to search for.
We're renaming this podcast the just X.
The Triple X podcast. Let's go with that. Because the XX is already a thing. The X is a band. So we are Triple X.
We are Triple X. Yeah. I think we can do it. That's an AMSR podcast, I think.
Well, and people don't know all the stuff that you edit out that would make this actually Triple X.
Oh, goodness.
Alexa, turn the lights down. That's something that you could do.
So
there's basic coding required to program and set up a smart home. And I say program because it is a level of programming that's actually required to, build and get the stuff to work correctly. The protocol is called IFTTT, which stands for if this, then that.
Is that an actual coding language or is that just like what you call what we do?
It's somewhere in between. I mean, it's not like coding, but it's kind of halfway there. So you have to program your smart home to know if it's 9 o'clock a.m., then the lights come on.
Okay.
If the air conditioner hits, if their temperature in your home hits 73 degrees, the air conditioner turns on.
Okay. These are the routines that I have in my Google. These are
routines that you set
up. Yeah, yeah. Right? It has like, you go into Google Home, it says routines, and you've got to do that kind of, okay, if then statements. Got it. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. So rudimentary programming is how I look at that. I think it's complicated for a lot of people to do. Maybe not us. But,
yeah, we could do it, but not your great aunt Ida.
Great aunt Ida.
Yeah, you know? I don't think she can do it. I don't think she can handle it.
So there's a whole bunch of things that are quote unquote smart. And this list and this, frankly, the word almost has no meaning anymore, right? Because, smart just, I guess, means it connects to the internet some way. So the Internet of Things, right? I have a list of crazy IoT. Examples. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Internet of Things. Probably a lot of our users have heard of that before. Some crazy examples of things that are Internet of Things ready or operable, whatever you want to call it. Toasters.
What? Really? Yep.
I don't know why. I don't know what the use case is there, but I guess if you want to program your toaster to make toast for you at 9 o'clock in the morning,
I'm going to say, Brett, before you continue, I think the use case is laughable to me here, and it's a part of like us not knowing what the future is and what these things can do for us. Cause I laugh at all of these, but continue. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to go down this ridiculous list here. Refrigerators. I could definitely see a use case of that. I don't know that it works that way today quite yet. Right. I think there were kind of promise, but like your refrigerator could sense when you're low on milk and then order you milk. Anyway, that's kind of cool, but some of these, that's one of the more actual, real world examples that has some benefit. A smart cat litter tray is another example.
Okay, so when the cat's pooped and it's overflowing, it tells you to...
Hey, man, if I'm at work and my cat takes a stinky shit, you're goddamn right that I want to know about it.
This sounds like an ad read, Brad. That is an ad read. Are you at work and your cat is taking a stinky shit?
That was probably pretty off-brand. So we'll either cut that or I'll just apologize.
I don't think that's off-brand. I think that's hilarious. But no, so Brad, they do have kitty litter boxes that clean, they self-clean. Yeah. So what I'm thinking is this just knows to do that and then tell you to empty it, right? It'll give you an alert on your phone. That's not bad.
Sure. Okay.
I'm okay with this use case. Okay.
A smart plug-in potpourri thing. Home fragrance dispenser is what it was called on the internet. But I wanted to call it a plug-in potpourri thing because I think it's more accurate for what it is.
I don't know what that does, but all right. Moving on.
Smart sandals. Sandals. So presumably that tracks your steps when you're wearing sandals. Okay. Right. A smart belt that tracks your waist size.
Okay.
And a smart toilet. A $7,000 smart toilet that Kohler makes. And I got to tell you, I kind of want one of those.
You love your toilets, Brad. Like,
I take my toilet very seriously.
We've talked about this seriously before. You bought a bidet during the pandemic, which I thought was smart.
I have bidets in every toilet in my home. And it really did start during the pandemic when there was a shortage of toilet paper. And I thought I was freaking brilliant for pulling the trigger on that. No, I think
so too. And you did it before everyone else got the idea. Because I remember like a week later, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. And we're talking the add-on ones, right? Not an actual toilet that it has a bidet built in. Yeah.
Well, I want the really, really expensive one that I just described for $7,000 and has the built-in bidet and seat warmer and
lights.
So
what makes
it
smart? Oh, that's what makes it smart. Lights? What do you need lights for in your toilet, Brad?
Well, if it's nighttime and it's
you got to see what's going on down there.
And you don't want to, I don't like to turn, I'm getting personal now, Dave, but I don't like to turn on the lights if I have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
You like your bathroom. Yeah. You like your nighttime bathroom experience to be intimate, right? Mood lighting. Yeah. Okay. Sure. All right. Yeah.
For sure. Maybe a little gentle breeze playing or some relaxing music just to kind of set the scene and just let me relax. Cause when you relax, things go easy.
Hey, Brad, remember when you said this was going to be a 30-minute episode?
How are we doing?
This was a bulleted list that should have taken us 10 seconds to get through.
Do you want to go over the future smart things or should we?
I would love to talk about the future, Brad. I'm a futurist. As judging by my movie.
Yeah.
Have we mentioned my movie?
I think so.
I got to dust that off. I got to find it. It's on VHS somewhere. Uh-huh. These are great. These are like ridiculously great and great and ridiculous. The first one, and I want to do something here. I love to do things live on the air, Brad. I think we should do this.
Okay.
The first one is called Amazon Astro.
Okay. Googling
the Astro. Yes. Look it up. Actually, Amazon it. Go on Amazon. Remember, they're the second largest search engine. Was that you that told me that?
That was me.
Yeah.
Amazon is the second largest search engine in the world.
new Alexa-based robot is available for pre-order, but it's by invitation only, which is weird because you go on Amazon and you'll see you can request an invite. That's not by invitation. That's by like asking. Like, I don't understand. So this is a cute little robot. It kind of looks like Wall-E. I don't know if you...
Oh, it's adorable. It's $1,000, but it's adorable.
It's $1,000. And I just, I don't know about this one. Do we need this? This seems like it could only go bad. You know, we've seen all these movies and I don't know what it does. Like I click through like all the kind of like, you know, what this thing does. And one of them is like, hey, bring this drink to Bobby. And you just put a drink in it and it goes, I guess that's fine. If, you know, a lot of these things with the smart home, Brad, like the lights, it just feels like, it doesn't feel like something we need.
Well, that's the thing, like with product design or user-centric design, right? You're trying to solve problems. And a lot of the times with these smart devices, I feel like there's no problems to solve.
Right. I think the problems in the home stop with the dishwasher, right? And the washer and dryer. But again, we had an episode that hasn't aired yet, but it was about making the world as it should be, right? And it was from a tweet that we saw. And maybe we don't have the big brains to understand. Yeah, our lives will be much richer when some of these things are taken care of for us.
I'm going to give you a deep cut looking at this Amazon Astro. If you guys Google it, this is a deep cut for two listeners. Shout out to Anthony Duran. I hope he's listening to this. This kind of looks like the robot from Chopping Mall. The 1986 horror movie about, you know, automated security drone robots
that.
Who patrol a shopping mall and then start killing people. Kind of looks like that. I wonder if that's what they're going for. Great movie, by the way. Anyway, I'm looking at this and I don't know what it does. You know, it walks around and monitors your home, but monitor your home. I don't know what that means.
I think it's Alexa, but Alexa on wheels. I mean, I think that's the idea. Okay.
$1,000.
For $1,000. It'll follow you around. It has a cup holder. It does. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know what the use case is for this yet, but that's par for the course with all this stuff. Okay. Next one, Brad, you keep looking at, here's what I want to do. Why don't you request, can you request that one? Cause it's $1,000. You're more, you don't have to say yes when they give you an invite. I'm guessing they're going to give everyone an invite. That's how these things work, right?
I'm a little nervous that if I click this request an invitation button, they're going to automatically charge me $1,000.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't
stupid
think
ass that. Robot.
Let's see. Why don't we try it? That would be a good user experience situation. Limited quantities, not all requests be granted. There's a learn more. Okay. This product is available. Please click it. During this limited release period, we are looking for customers who can help shape the experience. It's kind of like when they did Google Glass. I get this. Invitation was on a rolling basis. If selected, you'll receive an email notification when your invitation is available. That can't be. They're not locking you in anything. Do you want to do that? I'll do the drone.
No, I don't. Oh, Brad. All right. For the podcast, I will. But man, I really don't like this at all.
Okay. Just do it. Just do it. And then we will report back. I'll do the drone. Okay. That brings me to the next thing. The Ring drone.
What does the Ring drone do, Dave?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Brad. It is Amazon's flying Ring drone. If you took a Ring camera that's on the front of your house and you put it in a drone, it's exactly what it says. And I'd have to read this article to see what they want this to be. But what do you think would be the benefit of that, Brad?
I wasn't listening. Can you say it again? This form that you're having me fill out for the Amazon Astro thing is
an actual
step. I have to
I thought
fill
it was
out
just
a bunch of stuff. It's not just clicking a button.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
So anyway, it's complete now. Would you like to tell me about the Ring drone?
Yeah. So the Ring drone, Brad, is basically you take the Ring that's on your door and you just put it in a drone. That's it. And it doesn't go, Amazon says it doesn't do multiple floors. Like flying up downstairs seems to be out, along with remote control, which for privacy and security reasons, like
this is a security device.
Is that what it is? Yeah, but like it can't fly up and downstairs and you can't use a remote control. So why does that make it insecure versus having a flying camera drone in your house?
Good gravy.
It's not able to record footage while it's docked. Uh-huh. Its loud propellers will make its presence known.
Yeah, I have heard of this, by the way. I researched this, you know, a couple of months ago when I heard about it for the first time.
Okay, and what did you learn? Okay.
We're going to get into this in a minute here. And actually, you know, it's not in some of what we're going to be discussing today about smart homes, but, you know, security and privacy is something that is a consideration for me, as we've talked before about, right?
Yeah.
And having all these cameras inside my home and all these listening devices, I know it's pretty normalized now, but it's still kind of creepy, right?
It's super creepy. And I don't know what the flying drone does. Like, why would you want, why couldn't you just put a bunch of cameras in every room?
If you, that's what you want, that would be far less expensive. Just, and it, I'm sure would work better.
This stuff's crazy.
All right. So let's jump into the smart home. So I'm going to give you my background on the smart home, kind of like how my house is set up. Does that sound okay?
Yeah. Anecdote, antidote. Let's do it.
Okay. So about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, we remodeled my home, you know, pretty much from top to bottom, full remodel.
Okay.
And I was making decisions of how smart this house should be during that process. And technology has not really advanced at all in the past 5 years in smart home technology. So, you know, this is completely relevant and applicable for today. So it all came down to whether or not I was going to spend a couple of grand to get the Lutron smart switches.
Lutron smart switch. Okay, what are those?
So, you know, you have your wall switches that control the lights. They have smart versions of that. That the best example is built by a company called Lutron. And they're very good and they work very, very well, right? But they're also very expensive, and especially if you want to do your whole home. And that's kind of the point. Like, if you can't do half measures necessarily if you're going to have a smart home. It's all got to be smart, right? Yeah. So I came to this decision that I was not going to spend the $2,000 to have these smart switches at the time. The alternative is that, you know, all of my light fixtures I could also replace with smart light fixtures and or smart light bulbs, right? All that would also have been pretty expensive. So I made the decision. My home is pretty smart, but it's not all the way smart. So I held off on the lights. The rest of my home is pretty smart, but, you know, for the time being, I was not willing to make the investment. And even still today, I'm not willing to make
the investment. See, that's interesting, Brad. I feel like the lights are the first thing people jump into. So list for me again the things you do have that are smart. It's like the music.
Sure. So I have a full Nest ecosystem. So that's all of the smoke detectors, but also home security, doorbell, and even the door lock. I don't know if it's a good idea for me to be telling all of our users all this, but, but that's the truth. So my home security, my home lock, I have keyless entry on my house.
It's I've been wanting that. How does that work? Does it work pretty well?
Well,
a fob to use your phone? Like, how does that?
You can use a fob. You can use your phone to unlock it, but I also have a touch pad that has a code.
It's a very
long and secure code. Yeah. It is 1234. Uh-huh.
So very long, very secure.
Can you edit that out?
Yeah, no.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I'm sure you will.
So,
wink, wink.
Right. And then the thermostat, you know, that's a Nest thermostat as well. So all that's fairly automated. And then from an other outside product perspective, I have a couple of iRobot products. I have the robot vacuum, the Roomba vacuum, and then a separate robot mop. And I've named, I do. And the Roomba is named ED209 after the evil robot from RoboCop, of course.
Okay. Yes.
And the robot mop, its name is Moppy McMopperson. You can name them, which is fun.
Yeah. I like Moppy McFloppy, but that works too. Moppy McMopperson.
Right.
Wait,
right.
I've never heard of a robot mop. This is a real thing.
Oh yeah.
What is it? It mops your floor for you?
Yeah. So I have all the same surface of flooring. Yeah. It's a porcelain tile. And, you know,
of course it is.
It's not, nothing crazy.
Does it crack like my toilet? I don't know. We won't get into it.
Right. No, it's virtually indestructible. But the robot mop, you know, you fill the tank up with solution.
Yeah.
It has a pad on it.
Okay.
And then it goes around and mops the
floor. How much do these things cost?
That's a good question. I think about $500.
Oh, okay. That's a little steep.
Yeah.
But we have a problem with mopping. Does it really get into the
Does it
work? It does a good job. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty smart. I didn't realize how much you could speak to this. This is great. Mm-hmm. This is a lot better than me. Are you done with your anecdote?
I think so. I might be missing a couple of things here and there, but for the most part, that's it.
Come back to it. So here's mine. Mine's a little bit much simpler. Like I said, first grade, I may be giving it too much credit there.
Yeah.
It may be in kindergarten still. Basically, what I have is the Google Home, right?
Yes. Oh, and I have that too. I forgot that part. Yes.
Yeah. So I have the Google Home speakers, which
– Oh, God. Really, I forgot one. Dave, I'm sorry. Let me jump back in and finish my section here. I have Sonos Whole Home Audio.
Right,
so I have,
which I'm jealous
Sonos
of.
Sonos speakers pretty much everywhere in my house, which is pretty cool.
And that works really well. You don't have Spotify anymore. You have Tidal, but did it work well with Spotify? Could you have multiple users on there? Because that's what I'm about to jump into is my in my anecdote is
I never had the use case that you're going to describe here.
Okay. So you were able to use it pretty well. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my problem. I have this speaker. All right. And I have Spotify. Okay. We have the premium service, which means I get up to 6 people in the family. Right. Everybody has their own, I think, account, but I'm still not sure if it's one account or it's multiple accounts combined into one. Anyway, there's also the voice assistant, right? So it knows my voice versus my wife's versus my kids.
Yeah.
And which sounds creepy when I say it out loud. Mm-hmm. So my wife will be in the kitchen and she'll go, you know, hey, G-O-G-L-E. I won't say it out loud because my phone's right here listening.
It can spell. You
know, it can spell. No. She will say, play ABBA. Right. And then I'll go into take a shower and in my bathroom, I'll say, hey, play Rage Against the Machine. Right. And it'll go to her in the kitchen. It'll go, this is shut down because your Spotify account is being used elsewhere.
Right.
And it's so frustrating, Brad. And it didn't always work this way.
Yeah.
So I had to go in this week long thing where I'm just like trying to figure out what is the source of the problem. Is it Google? Is it Spotify? Mm-hmm. You know, is it the voice active? Like, is it the voice mapping? Like, what is the situation?
I think I know. Cause like,
you do know.
Yeah. Dave, we pre-gamed this and I didn't remember that I had this exact same scenario happen to me.
Okay. Did you have it with Sonos?
No, it was completely related to Spotify.
Okay. So, oh, okay. Okay. It's
very similar. Like, so I'd be in my car. Now it hasn't happened since the pandemic because we're all in the same house, but the use case very similar was that I'd be in my car listening to Spotify.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the wheels on the bus go round and round with stuff
playing. Oh, yes, I've had that happen too. I've had that happen too, Brad. Oh my God.
And then I'll go back to, you know, listening to Tom Waits and then all of a sudden Martha, you got the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Wasted of one, dude.
Okay,
baby
even worse.
Beluga. Keep all that in. Keep all that in. Make sure you
Brad,
keep all that in.
I had the exact same situation, but it wasn't even my car talking to my home, vice versa. I was at the gym doing pull-ups, and I had the same, so like all of a sudden it was like Olivia Rodrigo and I'm listening to Nine Inch Nails. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I shut it off and then it comes back on. I'm like, what is happening? So yeah, you're right. It's got to be a Spotify issue, but I think it's larger than that.
Yeah.
I think it's also a Google Home issue because what I found out was my wife didn't have, you have your Home Assistant or Google Home app on your phone.
Yeah.
She had it on her phone. She made an entirely different home for some reason. But so she wasn't connected.
Other family.
Exactly. Maybe. We'll have to look into this. I'll have to get one of those Ring drones flying around my house. But she also didn't have, she wasn't on our home. Right. Yeah. So I didn't know that was a thing you had to do. I thought it was just like, tell it your voice. And because it knew I had her ask it your voice and it knew her. So it had to know somehow that it was her, right?
Yeah.
And it was just so confusing because I'm in all these different ecosystems. I'm like, okay, Google, Spotify, but then there's the voice element.
Absolutely. Which one is it?
And so I went through everything and I actually haven't tested it. We should test it now. Yeah. I don't know where she is. If she comes in during this podcast, I'm going to have her do one room and I'll do another. We'll go mobile here. Right. But yeah, I don't know if it's resolved, but what I did was I went through the whole thing. I added her to the home.
Yeah.
We redid the voice mapping. So hopefully now we can both listen to Spotify, which is a larger question. Why does Spotify care how many speakers I'm playing things on? I have a fucking premium account, you know?
Well, I think that you guys need to set up your other accounts. I think that you're paying for having multiple accounts, but you're only using one account. That's what I suspect.
You think?
Yeah.
No, she has it on her phone. I checked that.
Well, she has it on her phone, but she's using your same account.
Yeah, but I think
family, you can have a different accounts for each of the family with one payment.
I think she has her own account because we linked it to it. But I think the home and Spotify are not talking, which leads me to what made me think about this episode, Brad, which was, Don Norman's book. We talk about it a lot. It's
give it a plug.
UX 101, Design of Everyday Things. Mm-hmm. Get it if you haven't read it.
Yep, it's behind me.
So back there. I'm going to read this quote from it. And it made me really think about this episode because it's going to lead me into like my next point and it will carry us forward to the rest of the episode. Here's the quote. The next time you can't immediately figure out the shower control in a hotel room or have trouble using an unfamiliar television set or kitchen appliance, remember that the problem is in the design. Ask yourself where the problem lies. At which 7 stages of action does it fail? What design principles are deficient? But it is easy to find fault. The key is to be able to do things better. Ask yourself how the difficulty came about. realize that many different groups of people might have been involved. And this is the meat of what I'm trying to get to, Brad. Each of which may have had intelligent, sensible reasons for their actions. For example, a troublesome bathroom shower was designed by people who are unable to know how it would be installed. Then the shower controls might have been selected by a building contractor to fit the home plans provided by yet another person. Finally, a plumber who might not have had contact with any of the other people did the installation. Where did the problem arise? It could have been at any one or several of these stages. The result may appear to be poor design, or it might actually arise from poor communication. Okay.
Right.
So for me,
I get it.
We've got Spotify. We've got Google. We've got my lights, which I haven't even gotten to. That's another anecdote we'll cover. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is in this, like these devices right now, as it stands with the smart home, it's like, it's almost like their APIs are messed up. And it's like, they're asking us to be the API, right? Yeah, like asking us to do the work that the computer should be talking to each other,
right?
Or these software should be communicating, but they're not. And I love that quote because it reminds me that, okay, so these things individually are great, but together they're just not working. What do you think, Brad?
I think it's a pretty good summation of the challenges of the smart home right now. I mean, that's the thesis, is that fully smart homes are a nightmare for the average person. You know, it's unlikely that, you know, any average user, any average person would be able to navigate this on their own today without significant investment and significant help. They just don't seem like they're quite ready for the masses yet. And it's for those interoperability reasons that you laid out that Don Norman alluded to, you know, long before the advent of the smart home.
Yeah.
And even as someone who works in technology, it's amazing just how complicated the smart home still is, full of jargon, incompatible standards, closed ecosystems and walled gardens, little intentional design for the macro user. I think it's the original sin, is that, you know, all of these different companies want their technology to be proprietary. And of course I do. It makes perfect sense. If you're Philips, you want people to buy only Philips Hue lights for their whole home.
Right, right.
It makes sense from a business perspective, but it doesn't make sense from an industry perspective.
Can I jump in there on the lights, Brad, before you get back to your point?
Absolutely.
I have a situation with lights. You don't have the lights yet, but I have this exact problem. We have the GE, I guess it is, lights, and I picked them on a whim. Basically, it was priced. Some of these are ridiculously priced. They're like $100 a light bulb. I'm not doing that. These things are like $20 a light bulb. I'm like, okay, that's a price point I can stomach. So I put them in. I just have one. It's in our bedroom, and it came about because I was lazy and I was laying in bed. I was so exhausted. I'm like, I don't want to get up to shut off this light. I'm like, wouldn't it be great if I could? And I was like, of course you can do that. The future is now. So I installed it and it works pretty good. But here are the two problems. One, sometimes three things. One, I didn't want another app. You know me, I hate having bloat apps, like just, you know, a parking space. Oh, get an app for that. You know, I hate it. So this thing is the CYNC app, which is what Google calls it. And I'm just like, it drives me nuts. I don't know why it drives me nuts when it says that, but it bothers me. And it's Sync. It's the Sync app, right? And what happens is sometimes it doesn't connect. So I got to get on that app instead of Google's app, even though Google promised me that this thing works with the Google Home, right? So my inclination was I can set this up with Google Home, but Google Home sent me to Sync, and then Sync said, go to Google and connect the two, right? And then I did that and it works pretty well, but every once in a while it falls out of quote unquote Sync. I'll go, hey, Google, turn off the lights. And then it goes—
Wait, Dave, it got really dark where you are. What happened?
It worked for once. And it goes, I'm sorry, but the CYNC network is unavailable, or something like that. And it pisses me off because one, it's not working. And two, just why are you calling it CYNC?
Right.
Why are you calling it CYNC?
I don't know why. Because your smart home is dumb.
Oh, I wrote you a joke. You're supposed to be Biff. Oh. You're like, it's not CYNC. It's Sync. You sound like a damn fool when you say it wrong.
All right. You did it for me. Excellent. I did it.
Anyway, it drives me crazy and it doesn't work. And then here's the second problem.
Right.
My wife needs me to shut off the lights because for some reason, like one of those programs, one of the pieces doesn't like her. It only will respond to my voice. So I'm the only one who could turn the lights on and off. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, man,
you were in the middle of a thesis, and I had to interrupt with that.
I completed my thesis, really, for the most part. You know, these companies want them to be their proprietary solution you know, to be the one. And of course they do. It makes perfect sense, but it impedes advancement and broad adoption of the technology for everyone, for the overall industry. So I feel like they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot from a brand and from a business perspective, because they're closing off this potential, you know, to the wide masses. So until we solve this part of it, there's zero chance that my great aunt Ida is going to have a smart home, right?
I agree. And Brad, this reminds me of Google versus Apple, right?
Right.
Totally. Apple is that walled garden.
Yeah.
And Ethan admitted last week that they can't, it can't do this stuff well, whereas Google can, right?
I mean, Google doesn't even do this well, but Apple does have their own proprietary solution called HomeKit. It's a standard for you know, Internet of Things and smart homes and all that.
But you said it, proprietary.
Exactly. So I'm going to have to deal with this, and this is going to be part of our long-running bid as I become an iPhone user.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to like set up HomeKit to, you know, control things that Google Home does now, or maybe not. I don't really know, but we'll get into it, right?
Maybe it'll be easy. Who knows?
Maybe. That'll be part of what we talk about.
So this is a problem, right, Brad?
It's a problem. This is also kind of the metaverse problem, right? And it's all these companies are on a race to build the metaverse, but until it's really open source with 100% interoperability, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's the illusion of a metaverse and an unfulfilled promise. So I think that all the smaller companies are building the metaverse to be interoperable, but the bigger ones like Meta / Facebook, Microsoft, Sony, all the ones who are working on the major ecosystems, it's a walled garden from their approach right now. And for this to work, they have to, you know, tear down those walls, Mr. Gorbachev.
Showing your age.
Bringing it back to Russia.
Or your history.
Anyway, so should we get into solutions, Dave?
I love solutions, Brad. You know, that's I love complaining, but I complain so passionately, Brad, because I want to solve the problems.
Right.
That's why, because a lot of times I'll look around in life, and that's what started this pod, and I just am like, why is it this way, right? And you know, we've done this before, like, you know, Napster existed because everybody wanted their walled garden. They didn't want you getting their music, you know, from different places. Apple does their thing, and it's like, at some point you've got to connect these things. So in our research, Brad, I found something amazing. Okay. Have you heard of Matter, Brad?
I have, but you, as a matter of fact, know more about it than I do. So go for it. That was poor. That was very poor at best.
I don't know entirely. You know, we both watched maybe a 10-minute video on this, so I know as much as you, well, I know 5 minutes more than you know.
Yes, because I watched 6 minutes of a 10-minute video, and you watched 10 minutes of it.
Oh, okay, 4 minutes more than you know.
Right.
All right. So, Brad, Matter is a new smart home, like, interoperability protocol, like we've been talking about, and it's like a joint effort by a bunch of industry players, and there's like a ton of companies involved, like almost 200 companies. And surprisingly, this is the one. As soon as I heard about Matter, I was like, but Apple. And that was what I was afraid was going to be the holdout. But apparently they're involved. Apple, Google, Samsung, Amazon, and Zigbee Alliance, which I probably should know running a tech podcast what that is, because it sounds big.
It's one of the protocols. It's one of the protocols, the smart home protocols that don't talk to each other currently. There's a few of them that we haven't mentioned here.
Okay. So apparently what they're doing, what Matter is doing, is basically creating a common language for all these things to work. So what they're going to do is what we want, they're going to make happen. And it's like, so you don't have to worry about all these things. You don't have to be the API. Like you're going to buy, you can go back to what you want to do, which is, do I want a $20 light bulb or do I want a $100 light bulb? Well, I don't need all these colors that this $100 light bulb does. And, you know, I don't need it to sense me coming in or what have you. I just need it to work. And I just want choice, right? It's the democratization of this thing, and which it's crazy that Apple signs on, because that was my chief philosophical debate last week, which I'm still mad that I lost that first point, because I really think Google wins in that one. But, you know, that's what this is going to do. And I'm glad, and maybe they're doing it. Maybe they're signing on because they're losing. They're leaving money on the table because people are just, they're not jumping in.
They're keeping the market share really defined and confined. There's only so much market share that these companies can get. And if they broaden it out, then there's 100% market share out there. They're fighting over 5% of the country right now.
Right. It's like you, me, and not producer Joe.
Right.
I think he's got, he says, if I could give him his bit, he said, I have a Google speaker, and it's basically a smart alarm clock.
Right.
So this sounds great. And you know, we were listening, I was listening to the CEO of this company in a CNET interview. Mm-hmm. And they asked him, like, when will this be available? And I was expecting, you know, 2025, 2020, you know how all these things are. And you're right. Like, snooze. He said in a matter of months.
Well, he also said that they are not yet all at the table. He said that they are in the same conference room, but they're not yet at the table. So I think that a lot of that is CEO speak, and God bless. Okay. I want to be CEO real soon. Right. But I think this is pretty optimistic.
Like next week. Right, Brad? Like next week.
Hey, man, you never know.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw anything off the table. But you know, it still has this problem where you need buy-in. And, you know, he's inferring that these parties are interested and they're involved. But, you know, until the deals are done, you know, I think that that's going to be the continual challenge, because he needs full buy-in. You know, Matter needs full buy-in from all these companies and all these different protocols. So not just Amazon, Apple, Samsung, and Google, but then the Zigbees and everything else as well. And he alludes to that. And if you read between the lines, he kind of makes it clear that they're not there yet. Right. So I think it's a little optimistic that this is going to happen within months, but it's possible. All things are possible.
Brad, I'm gonna go with optimism here, and I'm gonna go with CEO optimism and say that I'm gonna be seeing a stamp on a light bulb that says Matter approved, right? Or Matter Network, and I'm gonna buy that.
All right, well,
it's gonna work.
I'm all for it. So when that happens, I'll probably, you know, make the investment and make my home fully smart, I guess. Although, again, have to look at, like, what problems I'm trying to solve for, because right now the problems are flipping a switch. You know, these are not major problems with everything else going on in the world. It's hard to prioritize this type of stuff.
I think we need to think through these use cases.
Anyway.
I want our users to tweet us at our pod sucks.
Yeah,
and
sure.
and just tell us what your use case is for this and why we're like – We're not as excited as Matter and Google and Amazon. Like, there's got to be good things that we're excited about here that we're just not thinking of.
Well, I'd like to say that this is meant to be the first conversation about smart homes. And really, we'd like an expert, because as you guys have heard, we're not experts. We don't have fully smart homes.
We are sweet, sweet lovers, Brad.
Some of our listeners do, though. And we'd like to have you on the pod. Especially if you know what you're talking about and you have some great use cases for how it's beneficial to you to have a fully smart home, fully automated routines and all that. We want to have you on the pod. So, you know, reach out to us at Our Pod Sucks, and we'd like to continue the discussion.
And let me clarify that a little bit more, Brad, because there's two groups there. There's one, I want someone who has a better, a smarter home than you right now. Like they've been like really into this. Like, they got Raspberry Pi running and they built their own hubs and they got the Zigbee. Yeah, it's good stuff. They've got the blinds. Sure. They've got the, you know, the robots, all more robots than you. They're
smart
on
toaster.
That list. Smart. They got the smart toaster. They got the smart shitter. They got it all. Like that. We want, they got the cat shitting, your shitting, the lights, everything.
Oh man.
We want that guy or woman. And then we want the person who's the expert. If they're the same person, awesome. Like anybody who's like, you know, doing this right now, like their job is creating smart products or protocols.
I mean, I know a lot of our listeners, I don't know close to most of them, but I'm fairly certain.
You know all of them?
Well,
you know most of them.
I know 100 people who listen to this podcast, and that's I mean, frankly, with our numbers, we're looking pretty good, Dave, we talk about quite a
bit. Yeah, like 50,000, you know, 49,000 of them by name.
You know, I don't want to confuse this with being a bit. Our numbers are good, and they're not that good.
Right, considering
that we're 9 episodes in, we're doing pretty well.
Right,
anyway,
right.
I'm fairly certain that there's somebody out there who's listening who this is part of their job, and we definitely want to get you on.
Yes, please, like, drop into the DMs. And I've always wanted to say that. You know, I'm too old to say that to, like, another person for, like, better reasons than the podcast. But, you know, dip into our DMs. Or how do they say? How do the kids say it? You know, slide. That's what they do. They slide.
Which always right sounds, DMs.
It sounds so naughty. I mean, intentionally, probably, right?
I think that's the idea for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So slide into our DMs, you know, like slip and slide, not like naughty slide.
Well, Dave, I think this was a pretty good first discussion about smart homes, and hopefully there'll be more to come.
Brad, I'm excited about it. And you know, I think we did a good job here. And the point is that it's not where it needs to be. And therefore, this episode's not where it needs to be. So
this is an evolving conversation as the technology improves. And let's circle back and see what happens with this Matter thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love it.
All right. Well, we did it. We solved smart homes. We fixed it.
Partially. We got it into high school.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's our episode, Dave.
Yes, sir.
So thanks to you all for listening to the Sucks Podcast. We are wishing you health, well-designed life, and good experiences.
Toodles.
Complete anonymity. Just realized I couldn't say that word.